Tom Waits, and it's Phil Parkham into your homes again. I know you look forward to this wonderful visit that we do on Friday nights, and it's good to have you with us. It's a hot day in East Texas. We've got about two more weeks of summer, and it'll all be over, and no one is any happier about that than me. We have with us a fella who's been here three or four times before and done the Handyman Show several times. Everybody knows if you're on the list, you know Lee A. Stone. Dr. Stone, how are you, sir?
Not bad. Good morning, Dr. Phil, and yourself?
Good as I can be. And your daughter is Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Where are you folks located? I've forgotten. What town are you all in?
Well, I'm at home in Hudson, New York, and I've got Heather on another line. She's at work at the local Hudson Walmart.
At the Hudson Walmart. What do you do at Walmart?
I am the department manager of jewelry.
Oh, department manager of jewelry. Well, everybody's got to be somewhere, don't they, huh?
Yeah, we'll put in a little promo for the Hudson Walmart. What's the store number, Heather?
Walmart.
2097.
They're the ones that funded me this year for the race that we're going to talk about, blind driver's race.
Yes, let's get into that. The blind driver's race. Now, that in and of itself, the title is a little suspect. Blind drivers. You usually don't associate blind people with driving at all, you know? But how many blind drivers did they have?
This year there was 19.
19 blind people, all from your area, agreed to do this rather foolish thing.
Well, right? I don't know about foolish, but it was definitely interesting, right, Heather?
It was
interesting, especially for my first time.
This was your first time?
Yes, in the vehicle. I usually watch.
Yeah. Why did you even agree to do this? You have perfect sight and your life ahead of you, and I'd assume that you're a whole lot younger than Lee and I, and so why would you even agree to do a dumb thing like this?
Well, because it was from my dad, and two, it looked pretty fun. I mean, I like the thrill. You know, I was watching these guys going around having a good time, so why sit in the stands? You might as well get in the car.
So you figured you're kind of a daredevil, and you liked it. My wife would love it. See, my wife would do this. This kind of thing she'd get into big time. She'd get in the car and let me steer and her tell me what to do. Fortunately, we don't have those down here. Okay, so 19 blind drivers, and I assume that we're raising funds for someone.
For Camp Abilities, it's a fantastic summer program, at least here in New York State. It's a program for children who are blind, blind deaf, or deaf blind, at SUNY, State University of New York at Brockport. Blind children who are ages 9 to 19. Is that right, Heather?
Yeah.
And so they figured since they were raising money for blind people, they just let blind people drive and see how that would come out. I gather from what you said that this is not the first year they've done this. This is an old thing that's done every year, I guess.
It's the first year on this particular racetrack. It'll be our last year there. But we've done this six other times.
I'll tell you what, I haven't listened to the entire CD you recorded. I guess one of you had a recorder in your pocket and recorded everything. And Don Shaw made me a compact disc of it. So why don't we play a little of that? And before it gets real dirty, one of you stop me, okay?
Okay.
Could we do that? Let's see if I can find a punch up here.
We're taking a walk through the mud, waiting for a car.
Don, do we keep walking down?
You guys see the car yet?
No.
Okay, let's go down this road. These are the guys in the front.
Now, that's somebody that came racing by. Who is that? What was racing? Was that just a car on the street, or was that a race car?
No, race cars.
Race cars going by. That was the prelude to Heather and I getting in our first car, which was for the qualifying race. We were going to be in the second heat for the qualifying race.
Oh, you have to qualify for this thing. So you may not, if you're lucky, you won't make it right. All right, let's listen here a little bit. Obviously, there's a good crowd.
Why don't you put him in?
Right
there.
The blindfold them first.
Give him a helmet on. No, you know what I do? I'd run that right over the top of the helmet.
Okay, put your helmet on. Get your gloves.
Yeah, put your gloves.
Hit him and hook him up.
Okay.
And then you get in. Okay.
Okay.
Which way? This way?
No.
Where's the straps?
On the inside. You got to pull them out, Dad. I can't do. I got my helmet. Everything.
All right.
Out.
All right.
And as happened, it's a good thing you had those helmets on, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a very good thing. Matter of fact, I think that's what saved my life when we hit the wall.
Yeah. Okay. So this is just chatter before. So you're getting in your qualifying car, and you have to run a lap to see what? To see if you know what you're doing, or what are they looking for?
Actually, you have to run, I think it was five laps, right? Yeah, in the qualifying race. And in our heat, there was, eight or nine cars. So the fastest three out of those match up with the fastest three out of the first heat.
Okay.
So we end up with for the final race, we end up with like 10 or 12 cars, but they're the fastest people who have qualified in the first two heats.
Okay, so there's a chance that after this first heat, they may say, well, you were the fourth slowest, you were just one of the slow cars, and so you're out. That's it, right?
That's happened to me before, but this year it didn't work out that way. We don't have time to go through the whole tape, but in the qualifying race, after a couple laps around, somehow I ended up slamming against a wall on the driver's side and knocked off the left front wheel assembly, the wheel, the tire, and all. And I figured we were dead in the water. You can hear that part of the tape someplace. And
fudge.
And I thought we were stopped fudge. For sure. There was a couple extra words which we can't repeat. But then Heather said, no, go. And we did. We ran around the track on three tires like a bat out of hell.
On three tires?
I think so.
Three tires. Three
that's,
wheels.
That's pretty, sounds pretty dangerous to me. So I hear something. Let's see what we're doing here.
Imagine that. I'm blinded. I got a blindfold on or something. The door going to stay shut? Oh, come on.
Doesn't want to. Oh, he's going to chain it. That's why.
They got some wires for this thing?
No, he's got a chain.
Oh, what? What's he going to do that there?
He's going to chain it.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Say somewhere in there is a bleeping apart, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll.
And after that, I said I managed to bleep. It was quite hot in there.
It was a little warm. What time of year was this, and when did all this happen? I forgot to ask. This back in the spring or what?
This was in the early evening, right?
Yeah, it was about. I believe it was about 6-7 o'clock
yeah.
When most of the other races. We didn't really actually get on the track until almost 8 o'clock.
Okay, Heather. I gather that you are not married and don't have any kids, so you don't have anybody to worry about. If you got hurt, it wouldn't make any difference except to you, right?
Actually, no. I have a son who's going to be 7 this year, and he actually was watching the race. And
oh.
He was watching it, and he watched it all.
I bet that scared the heck out of him, don't you imagine?
Okay, you got to pull it down a little bit. That's
yeah, he was quite shooken up. He was having a great time. Mommy and Grampy was out there, and then all of a sudden, you know, things went down. But...
All of a sudden. All right, let's listen here. Maybe we won't get too many cuss words. If we get them, we'll bleep them out or something. I want to hear you start the car.
Okay, now I can breathe.
You're going to have to go a little farther, faster through that.
Do we have
probably
to go?
Another 3 or 4 minutes.
Is that right? Well, we'll just kind of let it run here, and yeah, kind of in the background. I guess we'll hear when the car starts. So in the qualifying race, you had what you might call an accident.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what it was on the center part of the track. They actually have these concrete dividers that you see usually on construction sites.
Uh-huh.
And that's actually what we hit the first time when we lost the driver's wheel.
The wheel. Of course.
That was what it was the first one. And that's when we had mud flying everywhere. And I told my dad to keep flooring it. Keep going all the way around. You'll hear me tell Dad floor it.
Now,
so that was our first race.
This was just the qualifying race that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you have to scream, lift, or hard lift, something like that, all right?
Okay. Like I said, I just got to be able to dodge the cars that are in front of us.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to take pictures, Dad, I don't think.
No, put that away.
It's in my coat, that's fine.
Yeah, put your camera away.
Yep.
Wait till Jason, those guys back at the radio station,
yeah.
They're going
to
crack
you're
up.
You're going to have to keep it quiet there for a second.
Do what now? What? What'd you say?
Yeah, you're going to have to keep it. Go ahead.
Because we're about
to. Depends on which tape you're running there, but if you're running the longer.
Unedited version.
Yeah, I think this is the unedited version.
Okay.
Okay, all right. You don't say that. You don't do the F word right now, do you?
All right.
Fudge. Yeah.
Can I put off the brake?
Yeah, you think you put off the brake.
Got a nice touch of gas, though. That's good.
Yeah, I can't give him my camera because it's underneath me.
Oh, you are?
I was going to give him my camera, but it's underneath, so I can't do it right now.
No.
We'll take pictures when we get out.
Is it netting across the windshield?
No, just netting on both our windows.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, I've heard a couple other cars start.
You say, like, go, or something like that. Okay?
Yeah, what you hear are the other cars from the first race, or the first heat,
mm-hmm.
That's what's going around. We're actually sitting literally feet from the track, waiting our turn for us to go back out.
Yeah.
So what you hear is the first set of blind drivers going around us. We're in the middle section of the track.
And y'all are sitting in the middle or off to the side waiting to do your whatever you're going to do, right?
Yeah, as soon as they're done, they come into the infield, and then I give them direction on how to get onto the track itself. We kind of weave around. You can hear me, you know, tell him left and right,
yeah.
Straight, and...
Yeah, I'd like
no,
to hear that.
I don't know. It's the number 5 car.
No, but what brand of car is it?
I don't know.
Oh. Well, we're in an unknown brand car that's currently running.
Oh, it's a coupe.
The what?
It's a Chevy coupe.
The Chevy coupe.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
The little car looks like the size of a neon.
Okay. Nice car. Not that I buy one. It fits way too low for my car body.
Turn the AC on.
We got AC?
Yep.
Turn it on high.
I got it on.
Look at that. No windshield. We got air conditioning, folks. I bet we even got a stereo radio, too.
Right after the incident with him backing up and smashing the other car, we turned around and screaming.
You're saying that he backed into, the first thing he did is backed into someone.
What's going on over there?
Well,
that
was
intentional. 38,000 miles, and somebody drove me a nice car, whoever it was. Thank you very much. I try to get it back in one piece. This is the number 5 car?
Yep.
When we just out in the previous race?
Yep.
Oh, so we know it can run.
Yep.
All right, baby. Run around. So if we can do something with it, I hope we can stay in this car for the finals. Bear, what was the other word we're supposed to use?
Shucks.
What?
Shucks.
Shucks. Oh, shucks, it's hot in this suit. Oh, son of a bear.
All right.
Hot day for bear cubs out
it
here.
It is.
Now I really wish I had short hair at this time.
Yeah. Well, being so you're not wearing a wig, you don't have much choice. You have to take a look at some of those regular female drivers, see if they all have short haircuts, or if they maybe they wear a different style helmet or something. I can talk and hear you now.
Put your foot on the brake.
Okay. You put us in park or drive?
In drive.
Is that in drive?
Yep.
Say when.
Hold on.
Gonna punch it? Go quick.
Wait. We got people crossing in front of us. We're not gonna punch it. We're gonna go really slow to get out of the track.
Okay. But you're really gonna have to yell for me to hear you.
You gotta start moving. Hold on a second. When the car in front of you starts going, go.
Like I'm gonna know that, right?
Yeah.
Hey, fudge, honey. You're gonna have to yell. You're gonna have to yell for me to hear you.
No, you're supposed to please.
Really? But I want us to go as fast as possible without totally getting killed. Don't worry about crashing into somebody.
There's they're going to come back.
We've done that before.
Pass this car.
Go ahead.
Okay, take a look. Turn out, Dad. Go.
Four.
Left, left. Okay, go. Go. Okay, go to your right. Go to your right. Right. Can I go? Now straighten up. Go straight. Go to your right.
They gotta go. It's time to go.
Go.
Are we on the racetrack?
What you hear right now is me trying to get him out onto the track.
No, what? I didn't hear you, Heather. Go ahead. What?
I say what you're hearing right now is me trying to get him direction to get onto the track. We have to weave around lots of people that are on the infield.
And
so
we didn't.
That's what you hear me, left and right.
And we didn't hit anybody.
Put on the gas, Dad, and go
straight.
Nope, we didn't hit nobody. Like 10 miles an hour. Take it right, right, right. Okay, right, 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 right. Okay, ready? Left, 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 left!
Are we in the,
I love it.
Now?
Go to your left, go to your left. We're not with the lineup, Dad.
We haven't started yet, have we?
Okay, no, take your left. Go straight, straight, go. Forward, there we go. We'll do forward, how's that?
We're stopping here.
Keep going forward. Oh, stop, stop.
Yep, do you get to the reverse?
And put your foot on the brake.
There it is.
Back up. Yeah. Yes. Okay, stop. Okay, go to your right. To your right. Right.
What?
Right. Now straighten out. Straighten out. Okay, stop.
So, Heather, how strong...
Right after here is where my dad yells a few words out loud.
Okay, how strong was the urge for you to reach over and grab the wheel yourself and take charge?
Okay.
Well, a few times. I mean, because, you know, that's just, you know, a scary feeling. I'm not a passenger driver.
Yeah.
So, for me to turn around and, like, tell Dad left and right, and sometimes it was hard because with the helmets on and being so hot and so loud with people screaming, you know, you have to scream, and it's like sometimes he's not hearing me, so you have to scream louder.
Yeah.
So I wanted to grab it a few times. Of course, I wish I had grabbed it a couple times, but I didn't.
Well,
the helmet microphone, but we didn't have that.
I'm sure that you aren't the only ones who had a wreck.
Oh, no.
Or are you? I'm surely not.
We're the only ones that got taken to the hospital, but there were other wrecks. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple other ones who hit walls, but not, like, anything major. We're the only ones actually found out, and I guess 10 years of that racetrack up in Lebanon Valley in Lebanon, New York, that in 10 years, that's the first one we've had a car accident that bad. They've actually had to cut us out of the vehicle.
They had to cut you out of the vehicle?
Literally, yes. They ended up calling the fire department, and they had to cut us out. I don't remember much of what my dad tells me and of what went on, because I had suffered a concussion when I hit. But the thing is that we hit so hard that it crunched the car. The front end crunched in.
What they use for tools, Phil, is a lot like what they talk about in the Blind Handy Man show, one of the fantastic tools called a sawzall, or
yeah,
a reciprocating saw. They cut the center post, the post by the, even though there was no glass in the windshield or the side windows, they cut those posts out, and they cut the post behind Heather and behind me so they could pull the roof back and take the doors off.
So far, this is the worst accident in the annals of the blind racing. Is that right? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, it is.
It's enough to consider Mr. Stone retiring. Because I'm still sitting here with a cast on my left foot and left leg. Heather got her cast off her hand and her arm, 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, it was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. I finally got that off. That was on for 2 months.
Well, it's, you know, it's Lee's mercifully short career as a race driver. If you get 19, 25, 8, 10 blind people driving cars, you're going to have problems.
I mean, have a good time.
You know, you're going to have a good time, but you're going to have some accidents. Blind people can't drive cars. I don't even try.
Let's put it this way. Rephrase that, Phil. Blind people can drive cars. They just don't always do so well.
Yeah, they don't. Of course, we bought a little Blazer car, a Chevy Blazer, in 92. And this has been a good while ago, but a couple friends of mine say, you know, they looked up and it was Phil driving his car up the street, scared the hell out of him. Because I figured out if I'm going to buy a new car, I need to drive it, you know. So Luann was in the car telling me, we weren't going fast, we were just on, you know, the streets around our neighborhood. Okay, so this continued on to, let's see, I don't know where we are here. I guess we've had our first...
come on, God damn it.
Did I hear you? I think I heard you say something bad there. We'll bleep that out.
That's already past the beginning.
You already started the race.
And actually, by the sound of it, with the wind blowing, we've already hit the concrete barrier.
The first time.
Yeah. What you hear, the first part, which was before that, you heard a countdown.
Yeah.
And that one there, we turned around, and I was yelling at my dad. I told him to floor it. I kept yelling, I'm like, floor it, floor it, floor it. And, you know, we cut corners, and I'm like, left and right, and we're dodging cars because, you know, you got a bunch of blind drivers driving around, and you don't know where they're going to go. They could completely cut you off.
They don't have any idea where they're going to go. But I don't hear you yelling here for some reason. I hear the car running, but I don't hear you. Yeah, I don't hear you.
What what you hear right there, that's the wind blowing, but that's mainly mud flying. What we've already hit in the rims were going into the track. So what you hear is the wind and the mud flapping up against the car.
Okay, this is after we went. This is us going around on three wheels, or what?
See, this is us going around on three wheels, and what the other noise? The reason why you can't hear other much is because you hear the bottom part of the car, the frame and stuff, digging into the it's a dirt track.
That's exactly what that is, isn't it?
Yeah.
What a crazy deal. On three wheels. So obviously, after the wheel came off, or after you knocked it off, they gave you another car, right?
Yeah. After we finished that qualifying race, you could hear us as we're pulling in. You could really hear the axle stem or whatever it is dragging. And Heather directs me into a parking area, and I can't believe they unchained the doors and let us out of that car and give us a second car, which was going to be for the final heat.
As if you hadn't done
it. Yeah, we got out, and the guy's laughing. He says, you need to get in the next car. And I said, there's no way we qualified. And what turned out to be is they were calling us the mud flappers because we had mud flapping literally up in the air 15, 20 feet. And they called us the mud flappers and said, you qualified, so get into the next car.
So as if you hadn't done enough damage already, they gave you another car. That is just insane. You know, it's just wild. It's just wild. It's crazy. What are we doing here? I'd like to hear that guy say that. So I guess we're still going around here. Is that what this is?
Yeah, we're still going around.
And the reason I can't hear you is because the car's making so much noise, right?
Yeah. Right about there, the transmission's flipping pretty bad, too.
Now what? I'm sorry.
Right about that time, too, the transmission is slipping pretty bad. We did something to the transmission.
I imagine. No one will be driving that car a whole lot anymore.
Go straight.
All right, now we're stopped, I think.
You're right. Go. Keep going. Forward. You're right.
that point, Bill, we're having a lot of car problems.
Yeah, I'd say that you, that's your problem. This is just...
Oh, is it the right?
Yeah, just a little bit.
No, yeah, no,
we didn't have her cell phone on her, so we couldn't call AAA.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You couldn't call it. I love it. What an insane thing. Did you all talk to any of the other drivers before we did this, or what?
Oh, yeah.
Are these people you know, Lee?
One of them I know personally. Matter of fact, his name is Ray. Ray Heideck. He lives in this county, too. He was in a car sponsored this year by Car and Driver magazine. As a matter of fact, this month in Car and Driver magazine, there's a nice write-up about the race. And Ray was the driver for their car. They had a Volvo. They entered into the race.
Oh, they had their own car?
Yeah, Car Driver magazine sponsored a car, and then they just picked from a lottery at the racetrack. And my friend Ray happened to be the winner of that pick, and he's the one that got the Car and Driver magazine car, which was a Volvo. It's an older Volvo with 100-some thousand miles on it.
All right, how did he do? Did he end up having an accident or what?
Yeah, a couple of minor accidents, but, you know, he ended up not doing too well qualifying, so they set out the final heat, which Heather and I were in. They sat back and tipped a few cores while we were still out there sweating it out.
While you were still out there getting killed in the race.
Having a good old time, yeah.
Having a good old time. See, I wouldn't, this would not interest me. I would, this would terrify me. I don't have the nerve or I don't have what it takes for this sort of thing. Let's see where we are here.
Where the hell is it?
Yeah, no, give me that one. No, wait, I'll get it.
I can't find it.
No,
I can't find it.
I can't find it. What are you looking for?
I'm not sure.
You're not?
That was when we were getting in the second car. You were looking for the other part of the seatbelt.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those last ones that come, the shoulder one goes up and over.
Yeah, I got you.
When you close the door, and then you have the lap belt, which is additional. We have to make sure we buckle up.
Yeah.
Looking for the other piece of the lap belt.
Yeah.
Well, if you hadn't buckled up, you'd have got really hurt. I mean, you would really have gotten injured bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
If you hadn't been buckled up. I guess there are no airbags in these cars. You'd assume.
No.
Actually, there was an airbag. That's actually what saved my dad. Ended up, the steering wheel, he got bruised up pretty bad in the chest from the seatbelt and the steering wheel. And then, of course, he got the broken ankle. And was being tall, dad being tall, so tall, when the car crunched up, I think that's where he broke his ankle. The airbag on my side, I thank God for airbags. People out there need to make sure they have airbags in the car. Was because when I hit that side of the car, the drive, you'll hear the passenger's tire blow. I hit and the airbag deployed, and I went to go brace, and I broke my hand, and that's when I hit my head. So
you broke your
life.
You broke your hand because you reached out to catch yourself.
Gotta look like.
Basically, that's exactly what happened. Like I said, I don't remember. If you listen to the whole tape right to the end, it doesn't. We try listening. I don't scream. I don't yell. Or anything. It happened so fast, I don't remember anything. There was nothing. And I can't yell at my dad, whoa, because he can't see it, and he was so relaxed.
You say he was so relaxed?
Ahead of us right now.
Yeah, well, because, you know, a blind man or a woman doesn't see a wall in front of you until you actually hit it or touch it. So we're driving, you don't know there's a wall in front of you until you literally hit the wall.
You aren't aware it's there, so you don't know it's going to happen, which is the way most things are in life. You don't know they're going to happen, so they just sneak up on you. Okay.
Exactly.
Gotta say, because of Heather this year, Phil, this is the fastest I've ever been. We topped about 82 on a straightaway, but when we hit that last wall, the tow truck driver estimates we were doing between 55 and 65. So that was a pretty good impact. It was enough so that the car folded. I think we left our mark on the concrete wall, and then sometime later they cut us out of there. In very fine professional people, all volunteer firemen, volunteer rescue squad people, whatever you want to call them. The other thing, like Heather works, she's a volunteer on the fire department, just like my son Jay is, and she said she's been on the other side of an accident. She was explaining to the fire chief, who was in the back part of the car, trying to keep Heather calm and myself calm. What they did is they covered our faces and our upper bodies up with a blanket, so when they were cutting with the sawzalls or reciprocal saws, any of flying metal or debris didn't get on us. You know, at that time, of course, the races stopped. But it's very interesting to see how these all volunteers all work together. And whatever, we just had one heck of a good time.
You still consider it a good time?
Oh yeah.
Even after what happened and the fact that you got hurt, you still think of it as a good time.
But we're gonna come in real close.
I know what. I tell people I may be blind, but I'm not stupid. I'm not so sure I'd do this again, even though Heather has located a car for us for next year, which does have the safety harnesses in, which we didn't have this year.
Yeah, which would be kind of nice, wouldn't they? Heather, you're game for doing it again?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, my dad's got friends who actually want me to help him out. So if my dad doesn't do it, my dad's got friends who turn around and want me to be their co-pilot.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Mr. Mother Al out there in Las Vegas, he wants to borrow Heather for next year. But anyway, we have to let Heather go back to work because she's on a break right now.
All right. Well, Heather, we'll let you go back to work. But now so one way or the other, you're going to be involved next year.
I want to be in. Well, I just said the last few years, I've always been in the stands watching my dad.
Yeah.
And this year, you know, it was nice to be able to be a part of it. And, you know, I managed to get my dad up there in the first place. So if he doesn't do it next year, I'm going to see if I can get the next person who I ride with to do it.
Okay.
To get up there to first place.
So we did win. We were considered the winners of the race.
We didn't. If we hadn't crashed, we would have been in first place, yes.
When you listen to that tape, we had to stop at the end of the fifth lap. And at the end of the fifth lap, the guy is telling Heather and I, at that point in time, there was a yellow flag up, and we were in first place. In order to keep first place, we had to go like a bat out of hell.
Yeah. But you didn't consider the winners of the race because you had all the laps.
No.
I've been in.
But that's definitely something I'm definitely considering for next year. But I'm gonna, now that I've been there, I want to make sure that I do all the precautionary. Like I said, I've already located a car that actually has all the definite safety precautions, which these vehicles didn't. So.
All right, so we can look forward to next year. Who had the recorder in their pocket? Which one of you?
We actually both did.
I want to give a nice plug to audiojournal.net. Radio Reading Services for the Blind from Central Massachusetts are the ones who wired us up with, what were those things called, Heather?
iPods.
They wired Heather and I both up with iPods, and they had sent to us ahead of time. You're going to get excited, so we're going to ask you to use words like fudge,
yeah,
shucks, and bear, you know. It's easy to say that in a recording studio and then go out in the racetrack, and well, it doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah.
Jesus. You get yourself all worked up and you don't think about it.
Well, like,
we have a lot of people to thank, you know, like my sponsor, the Hudson New York Walmart, and audiojournal.net for a fantastic crew. But Jason, I'd like to get their friend, or their sponsor, Jay, to be a part of Blind Like Me and Blind Handyman someday, if I can loosen him up.
We could do that.
Great people. Well, the other interesting thing was we put the iPods to the test because on the final impact, they just stopped recording. So I guess that's the way, and I don't know anything about an iPod except for it stopped recording. And you hear that wham, you didn't hear that part. The car felt it. But on that final impact, with the concrete wall, we just stopped recording.
The recorder stopped working.
Yep.
All right, Heather, you have to go back to work.
I'm Unfortunately.
And go sell some jewelry to somebody, huh?
Well, but I may end up buying.
Yeah, well, you could do that, or I'm going to go pierce some ears.
All right, well, listen, we couldn't be mine.
For giving her the extra time off, but again, the Walmart there, the people from the back door from Rob right up through to my wife and electronics, they got what they did, Phil, is they got together, they put on a bake sale, and the money they raised, like $600, then the Walmart corporate office matched those funding. So all that money was sent to Camp Abilities. So a fantastic donation for a great summer program for blind children.
Okay, so Walmart matched the funds that were raised.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that is really great. Heather, we thank you, and I guess we'll probably, a year from now, we'll be talking to you again. I'm sure your dad, I really feel like he'll probably participate, but if he doesn't, you're going to.
Listen to you.
Almost definitely.
All right, very, very good. We'll talk to you then. Thank you much.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Let me ask you this. How does your wife feel about all this that you're doing?
She thinks I should find a new psychiatrist.
Well, I'm not sure she's not right.
Well, she's been married to me for 32 years. She tolerates a lot. However, she is there every year as a supportive person.
Uh-huh.
And she's either on the infield, or this year she was with my grandson up in the grandstands trying to operate a video camera. I know she was pretty upset when she found out there was a crash where Heather and I were, and they wouldn't let her out where we were.
Yeah.
You know, but that's protocol.
That's natural, yeah, sure.
Sharp Chef left.
You'd think that they wouldn't. But she is. She's not for this, but she doesn't try to prevent you from doing it. And
She's all for the program because she's met Dr. Lauren Lieberman, who does the program. She's all for. She was in the first couple of years when I was racing a whole lot slower. I was barely moving, actually. That was different. But you know, as the years go by, as I get a little bit older and get better co-drivers like Heather, we pick up speed, you get a little more brazen. And then the second car we used happened to be an older Escort wagon, and that thing had, well, it had a whole lot of power. Let's put it that way. I was going to say something else. But when Heather said to punch it, we punched it, and that little four-cylinder was flying.
So
yeah, just like that. God put wings on that car, and we were doing just fine.
Until.
However, either way, it's a great program. All I know is that Heather's ready. I don't think I am. But, again, we have several months. We have a winter goodbye. I have promised Dr. Lieberman and Camp Abilities I'll do the best with my big mouth to help them with fundraising, to get to inspire more younger blind drivers to come out, both male and female. You even get Mr. Campbell to come up there out of the state of Texas to use his expertise.
Well, you know, this would be a perfect thing for Dale. He's kind of a daredevil anyway, and I think you might have something there. He might be able to get some sponsors to get him to come up and do that. Are y'all working on that?
I think it sounds like a great idea.
But have you talked to him about it?
All right.
Only on the program. And one other time when I was on the phone with him, he's interested. That's as far as it got. But I think we can prompt him some more. It's a long way to haul a car up, but we could work something out.
Yeah, I think probably so. It's just the kind of thing that I would think Dale would enjoy. I think Dale was kind of a fast daredevil sort of a fellow when he could see. So I think he would really enjoy this. Tell me, were there some blind female drivers also?
Yes, the youngest one was 18. That's the only I listened to her doing an interview with somebody. I don't know her name. But I do know there was at least two, if not three, female drivers. The youngest girl that was 18, it was her first year. No, second year. I take it back, was her second year. How she did on the track, I'm not sure. I know she collided with that car and driver, Volvo. The car that the Driver magazine sponsored, she collided with them. How bad the accident was, I really don't know. There's another gentleman that he said, well, I guess you know I'm really blind because he ran into the back end of a big red big red tow truck that was already trying to hook up, trying to tow another car.
It's amazing. Yeah, if you get
blind. You have to look at it. I mean, yes, it is dangerous, and yes, it is probably a crazy thing to do, but it's a lot of fun. And if you look at the end results, And there's a whole lot of young blind children who benefit from this, doing this. What a great way to raise money.
Yeah, what a great way. Tell me a little more about what the camp does. It is for young blind, for the blind youth.
What?
Get ready.
Okay, get young. I can't give you the whole scenario, but I can tell you that two things. First of all, there's blind students, adult students who are there, who are teaching archery, who are teaching swimming, who are doing different things, and it gives these younger students the energy and the thrill to know when I get older I could do something like this. And more than likely, some of those students will come back, and they again will be the teacher. It gives these people from age 9 to 19 a reason to be ready for a summer program where many of their other friends, their sighted friends, are going off to some other type of camp. Well, they're going to go to camp too. As long as we can keep raising money somehow, there's an opportunity at Camp Abilities at SUNY Brockport, and hopefully in years to come at other Camp Abilities throughout the United States that will make a difference. Just to know that they can go out, they can run track, that they can swim, they can do archery, they can do a lot of different things, just like any other child would do at a summer camp program.
Yeah, because you don't, if you can see, you don't realize how much blindness robs your childhood of, like, you have a hard time playing hide-and-go-seek. You can't play football most times. Blind kids do, but, you know, but they you know, that would be, you can't absolutely can't play baseball because you can't see the ball. You can't, you know, these kids used to be, little grandkids, you see them just jump off the porch and take off running down the driveway. Well, it's hard for a blind child to do that. So the blind child, you lose a lot. A poor blind child, a blind child, I didn't say poor blind child, you and I were both blind children and we survived, lose a lot of the fun of childhood, and having this camp puts some of that back, I would think. Gives a, you know.
For instance, they're going to say, well, geez, you can't play baseball because you're blind. Well, while you're there, maybe there's another blind instructor who's going to be teaching them how to use what's called a beep-beep ball. So,
yep.
You know, it's a baseball-type ball with a, as soon as they pull the pin on it, it's because beep, 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 beep. And, yes, they do have some sighted coaches there, but there's many blind adult instructors there also who are going to assist them. The main thing is to gain self-confidence and self-esteem, which is fantastic. And those kids, as they grow up to be young adults and older, as you and I, they're going to remember that. And more than likely, they're going to pass what they've learned on back onto other people. So it's going to be an ongoing program for years and years and years, and it's fantastic for the blind community.
Why have you, do you go up and work at the camp or not?
I haven't, but I've made the commitment to do that next year, to go up and be there, to be a part of it. What I'm going to do up there, I'm not sure what I can teach them. I'd have to kind of clean up my act a little bit, but I'm sure there's something that I can assist with. But just to be there has got to be a thrill to understand what it takes to put a program like this together, because as Dr. Lauren Lieberman brings in students from across the world, not just in New York State, brings other students in from around the world who are interested in extracurricular activities, summer camp activities, or students who do happen to have a disability, in this case being blind or deafblind. It's fantastic.
Now, this lady, Laura Lieberman, she's a sighted lady?
Yes, she is.
I
can't give you the whole history on her. Some other day I can hook you up with her.
Well, I was thinking the same thing. Maybe it would be a good thing to hook up with her. And then also I would like to talk to some kids who've been to the camp and see what they think of it. I mean, that would be...
I think that's a great idea. She could put that together.
We'd have to do it in two or three segments and then tack them together. But that's no problem these days. We got digital. We can do anything we want to do. But that would be, I would think, a fantastic interview. Because I'm sure there are other camps and places like this around the United States, but this is pretty unique thing. Not only your method of raising money is unique, but the camp itself is a great idea, I think.
It sure is, and it can make a difference. You can imagine the number of children that must pass through this camp. That Dr. Lieberman could give you the number. But that's several more children, students, if you would, who happen to be blind, but students that are going to have a summer program where they probably wouldn't have had it before if the money wasn't being raised.
Yeah. All right, sir. I think we will terminate. We've got a few minutes left, but we'll stick something on the end of this to make it a full interview. Obviously, your daughter's going to be involved with somebody in the race next year. You haven't quite decided if you're going to race, but I think your skills may be better used as a counselor. You say you don't know what you'd provide to them. You have learned many things you don't realize if you've made it this far, and you're 60, close to 60, aren't you?
Actually, in September 11th, I'm going to be 61. Susie, Miss Susie from up there in the state of Tennessee, she and I share the same birthday. September 11th, I'll be 61.
Well, and she'll be 60. Did you know that?
She's just a baby then.
She's just a child. She'll be 60 and you'll be 61. So if you've made it 61 years as a blind person, you've learned a lot of things that you don't even think about, that you just do day to day that you don't.
And thanks to the program that you and the gentleman that, throughout the state of Texas put on, throughout the Blind Handyman and Blind Let Me, I have met a whole lot more nice people, too. It's just fantastic what you've done.
Well,
it's
worked out good.
All right.
I've certainly gained more than I've gotten back much more than I've given. I've met so many people like you that I never would have met had we not started doing this. And, it's a great, my life's not over, but it's a great thing to do in sort of retirement years. We're trying to interest NPR and doing a little something on it, and maybe we'll get that done. Listen, we're going to go and let you go, and we thank you for your time, sir, and I guess your injuries are healing up nicely.
I'm going to be just fine.
That's
thank
good.
You so for your time, and we really appreciate the opportunity.
All right, Lee, I'll be in touch.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Thing. 19 blind drivers. I can't imagine spectators standing around fearing for their lives because a blind guy driving a car, you don't know where he's going to go. You know that. Anyway, quite interesting, and we're going to get maybe a little more involved in that sort of that thing next year, not in the actual driving of a car, but I'd like to interview some more of the drivers. Of course, race car driving is something that our society associates with men. So I would like to talk to one of the blind female drivers. And I said there were a couple. Not for any particular reason. I like to talk to some of the men also. But it would be interesting to talk to some of the other drivers and find out their experiences and their co-pilots, who they used. Anyway, Heather sounded like she was going to be involved next year, so we'll try to get to some more things about that, maybe. Maybe it'd be nice to make a trip up there and do some recording live. Anyway, our next interview is with Ed Potter, so we'll let Ed speak for himself. Let's see, where is this? Let's see if this works here. We are visiting with Ed Potter, who's no stranger to you. He's been on Blind Like Me before and has been doing a playback magazine for 28 years? 28 years. What a deal. We'll talk more about that at a future date. But what we want to talk right now is our friend, the late Joy Bubbles, who passed away sometime in August. You knew him quite well, didn't you?
I didn't know Joey Bubbles really well, but I knew him well enough to have him do a column for Playback Magazine. I knew that he was very much into telephones, and I know that in his real name, Joe Ingracia, he was one of the really major phone hackers back in the 60s and 70s.
That's what the article said, that that's how he got started fooling with phones, doing phone hacking.
But, you know, the interesting thing about it is when he changed his name to Joey Bubbles, he became one of the gentlest, most childlike people you could ever imagine. I remember once he said to a friend of mine who asked him, he asked my friend, how do you suppose you can keep people from hacking your telephone number? And my friend said, I'm not sure. Joey Bubbles said, give it to them. That was typical of his sense of humor and very great softness. About 2.5-3 years ago, I thought it would be interesting if he did a regular column of some of the telephone arcana that he came across.
Uh-huh.
And so he started a column on Playback, about 10 minutes long each time, called Telephile. And he had some of the strangest numbers of places and some of the things you could get that you could ever imagine. And people just loved hearing it, and we'll miss it.
Yeah. Well, it was my understanding, and I didn't know this, that his IQ was very far above average.
That's what there was a piece on NPR, which we will also have this coming October, actually, beginning of October when Playback comes out.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have that instead of course, the Telephile.
Yeah.
And the piece indicated that he had about 170 IQ.
Really? And
so he was quite bright.
He was quite bright, and like blind people do sometimes, he became very passionate about telephones.
He did, yeah, from his very early childhood.
I think they said something about one time he would take phones apart and repair them and try to figure out how they worked.
The thing about Joey Bubbles or Joey Ingracia is how he found out all of these ways that only telephone companies are supposed to know to operate the system. This puzzles many of us, but he was so driven to do it and bright enough to put things together that he was able to do that.
Well, and also they say that he was quite musical. He had perfect pitch.
Well, he did because he could whistle exact tones. And one of the things he did on Playback is he told about listening to some Christian record about some guy's mother, and the guy at the end of the record said something like, "Now I'm going to call Mama." And the record had a touch tone number. Joey Bubbles was in a car, and he remembered that number and went home and called it, and it was the guy's actual mother.
Really?
Yeah. And I suppose the guy thought that nobody would be able to, you know, get the number from listening to the touchtones. Joey Bubbles did.
Remembered it from being in the car and calling it. Was the guy's mother. Also, every Playback, everything Telephile I ever heard, he talked about this story thing that he had up. And I thought, I never did go listen to it, but I thought these are stories that he's getting from NPR, from talking books. Well, no, he wrote them, didn't he?
No, he ad-libbed them. He didn't write them.
Well, I mean,
they were detailed, really touching stories about mostly his childhood. He had a somewhat turbulent childhood, and he sort of found his own little niche to make himself happy and to make it work for him. And most of the stories that he had on Stories and Stuff dealt with something like that. Not all of them, but many of them did.
In my writing, I meant they were his own creation.
Absolutely.
He didn't steal it from somewhere.
Though they were Joey Bubbles. Actually, they were things that happened to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was, as I gather, totally blind.
Yeah, he was.
And a
very, very private person in his later years. Very private. I don't know this to be a fact, but I heard that he invited somebody to come to see him if he happened to come through Minneapolis. He said, "I'll be glad to see you, but I don't let anybody in my apartment."
Really?
Yeah.
I guess that's just some sort of phobia, some sort of thing he had.
I don't know whether it was a phobia or what. I'm not quite sure it was a phobia because Joey Bubbles didn't mind coming out and going places and doing things. He was pretty independent in that respect, at least when he was younger, and I assume he was later on, too.
Well, and I think he
But apparently he was a kind of a recluse.
Yeah.
in terms of face-to-face contact and lived a lot of his life on the telephone, as many blind people do, unfortunately.
Oh, man. Yeah, lots of them. And also, he liked to eat at Holiday Inns or some place that because he was familiar with their menu. And
Yeah, and he said they were all built the same way.
Yeah, so you could get around in them.
Right.
All right, Joy Bubbles, we'll miss him, but you're going to have the article in the next Playback magazine. And
that'll be the NPR story was recorded by a friend of ours who's on Playback, and he sent me a copy. And we'll have that also on The Underground, which is our sister publication. People have asked me to redo some of the Joy Bubbles columns, and I'm going to look back and see if I can't find his first and second column and put those on The Underground.
That would be good, sir. Thank you much.
Yeah. And thank you very much.
All right, sir. Hold on just a second, okay?
Sure.
That is our friend Ed Potter, who does this magazine called Playback Magazine. That, incidentally, is going out of business as of the November issue will be the final edition of Playback Magazine. So it'll be kind of a collector's item. I intend to hold on to mine, and you should do the same if you're not a subscriber to Playback. It wouldn't be too late to subscribe and get the whole year. Huh? Anyway, Ed's going to retire, I think. Maybe we'll talk more about that a little later. I'd like to have him back on and talk about Playback. He's been doing it for 28 years and talking about technology and different articles on there. Started out as a way of, I think, of gathering 800 numbers, but evolved into Playback and this companion publication that he calls Underground. Anyway, we'll get into that maybe in a later date. Don't forget, we always need guests. Remind you each week. If you have an activity that's going on, that involves blind people, please let us know and let us call and do a short interview with you. We do them on Skype. We do them on the phone. We can do them any way you like. Our phone number, 936-634-9500. Email address is philparr@consolidated.net. philparr@consolidated.net. consolidated.net. philparr@consolidated.net. Or phil@philparr.net also works. A little slower, but it will work. phil@philparr.net. Always need guests. We do 80 shows a year. Plus shows a year, Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me. And so we need guests for both shows. If you do any kind of handyman stuff, if you've put a washer in a faucet or changed a light bulb, give us a call or email us. Let us have you as a guest on the show. It's all about blind people, and that would include you. Thank you much. I'm Phil Parm. We'll see you next week with another edition of Blind Like Me. Bye-bye.